I know you like that.
I think everybody likes it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is our NBA, we might as well call restart pod. I'm probably going to say restart about 20 times during this, but hopefully I can keep it in check.
We'll say restart and bubble like 426 times throughout this next little bit.
So what we thought we'd do is only 22 teams in the so-called Orlando bubble, which is in Disneyland in a massively beautiful campus, apparently.
How good does it look?
It looks awesome. No one literally has to be near each other. That's how big it is. Yeah. So we'll go through and we'll just sort of break down the 22 teams left and what our thoughts are. Well, I thought we might as well start on the we can start on the East, which would mean you we'll start with the number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Look, the Bucks, they're going great guns. They've got the best record in the league at the moment. Pre-restart. 6.5 games up on Toronto, so that's going to be rather hard for them to choke that away or for Toronto to actually, overtake the number one seed. So, look, there's probably not really a whole lot to say about Milwaukee, really. It's finals or bust. I guess that's kind of it. The only thing I'd sort of, just a couple of different sort of podcasts that I've listened to just recently, just the one question that they sort of had once it comes into sort of crunch time is who their crunch time five will be. It'll be Adetokounmpo, Middleton, and for me, I'd have Brook Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, and Will Matthews. Will Matthews plays football. Wes Matthews, I think should be their closers. Maybe someone like George Hill could probably get a look in there as well. That'll be your closers.
I just have a feeling your X factor, where you just said George Hill. Having George Hill with that playoff experience might actually help them.
Absolutely.
That was my – or when I sort of looked at their team, I went, they do have a great side, obviously, having Giannis in there. But and having his brothers in that bubble too seems to help. I don't know. Seeing family together, which is great for him. Yeah. having George Hill on that bench could be a huge X factor coming playoffs.
Well, they sort of retain, I guess, their three best players from last year's playoff run in Adetokounmpo, Eric Bledsoe, and Chris Middleton. It'll just be what defenses do when they try and clamp down on on Giannis. In that clutch sort of situation, whether he's got the ability to hit the three consistently, spread the floor a little bit. Do you know what I mean? That was their question marks last year about that. Chris Middleton doesn't look like he's really taken a back step from last year. He's looking in pretty good form. It'll just be whether or not guys like, Bledsoe, he's got both Lopez brothers there. So, Brook Lopez will be a big help. Splash Mountain will be able to, hopefully he'll be able to spread the floor a little bit. But even Robin Lopez has been able to hit the corner three. He's shown that ability in a lot of teams that he's been in. He's been around a lot of different teams lately. Guys like Wes Matthews, I've always liked his game. It was sort of sad to see him not play for essentially 2 years. And now that he's come back and he's on that championship contender. Like you said, George Hill will be, his playoff experience will be paramount, forward,
Definitely. We'll keep going with the East, with the next seed, which will be the Toronto Raptors, which will be another one.
just the way that we've sort of broken this up a little bit. I'll take the top two of the East. Look, Toronto, they look like they just haven't really skipped the beat, even though they lost the finals MVP, which to me is super surprising. They haven't really made a lot of, off-season signings or anything like that. So it's essentially the same team except for Kawhi Leonard.
I know we talked about at the start, well, at the start of the NBA season about who we thought would be most improved, and I think we both landed. I think if we both landed on Ingram, which I'll just have a look now. No, you landed on Ingram, I landed on Adebayo. What? I'm just thinking, why haven't we talked about Pascal?
Well, I think just purely on the fact yeah. that it was from last year as well. Like, you know, how much better can he get from last year? He got it last year. He's not going to get it 2 years in a row. I understand that. You know,
that's
you
the difference.
That's unprecedented that somebody could get that's it 2 years in a row.
Wow. But
it's, you know what I mean? Like, it just – and you, all you got to do is have a look at the team's record, the way that they're traveling at the moment. So, look, for me, they should be – yeah, Siakam's averaging 26 and 7.5 rebounds. He could probably do a little bit better in the rebounding department.
Yeah.
But he probably, I'd say, probably gets bullied around a little bit down the block. He could probably, you know, put on a few more pounds. But look, they should be a decent rebounding team. I don't think you'll get a lot out of them if the oppositions will get a lot of offensive rebounds against them. You know, proven rebounders like Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, who went there, you know, during their championship run last year, Siakam, they all average around the seven to eight rebounds a game. So, and they're big bodies as well, like especially Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka, like they're big bodies in the key. So they'll be tough to sort of get, to sort of snatch offensive rebounds off of them. To me, sort of a key guy is Norman Powell.
Yeah.
I think before the break, he was killing it. He was carving it up.
Yeah.
I think he was averaging like 28 in his last five games before everything sort of went awry. So if he can shore up that scoring gap a little bit, I think on the season, he's averaging like 16.5 a game. So that's still pretty good. You're not going to get a whole lot of scoring out of Ibaka or Marc Gasol. So you're going to be relying heavily on Kyle Lowry. Fred VanVleet, who's probably been more in contention for most improved than what Pascal Siakam has this year. You just want to hope that playoff Kyle Lowry doesn't make an appearance, now that he's sort of shed DeMar DeRozan. Like his playoffs last year were pretty solid, whereas in previous years, especially in Toronto, his playoffs have been pretty ordinary. So you just hope that, that playoff Lowry doesn't make an appearance. Yeah. But he's averaging 20 points a game and nearly 8 assists. So he's looking pretty good this year as well. So it'll just be they've got the thing is team continuity, and that's going to go a long way in this sort of 8-game sprint and then into the playoffs.
Next team is of continuity. They come in with, I guess, I think Jason Tatum was having that ascendancy as a superstar. He's averaging 28.6 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 3.2 assists. I think their biggest concern at the moment, I mean, all the players are there. I think their biggest concern is Kemba Walker came in still feeling discomfort in his left knee. So I guess as long as he's healthy, they'll be fine. But I don't know. I feel like I've been looking at a lot of the X factors. Theirs is Marcus Smart. I love the way he plays, especially the way he defends. But
possible defensive player of the year.
Yeah. I'd say he's nearly first team all defensive guard.
I think he's absolutely all defensive first team.
And I think the key for them is, and it's probably going to be the key for everybody, so I'll probably bring it up a few times, but that they're not going to have, well, this could be a deterrent for Boston as well, but they're not, there's no home court advantage at all.
And that's right. And that's a tough place to go in and play is it's not called Boston Garden anymore, TD Gardens. Yeah, that's a tough place to go into. They're fairly hostile sort of fans, especially during the playoffs. like, yeah, you think they're bad enough during the regular season, yeah, they amp that up by, you know, 15 in the playoffs. So that's a really hostile sort of environment for teams exactly. to go into. So that's how a lot of these big teams, these, you know, almost championship contenders are just going to have to, they're going to have to deal with the fact that they're not going to have, you know, the crowd cheering them on, you know, giving them that sort of motivation that's, you know, that's sort of needed sometimes for them to sort of, you know, spark up, especially if you're down a little bit as well, you know, and once teams start to make that little bit of a run, start coming back, the crowd really fuels the players. So yeah, it'll be how they find that motivation to be able to sort of, yeah, to sort of keep on, I guess.
The good thing with them in that 8 game playoff sprint is their first game straight up is a Bucks. So, I mean, that's going to be a test straight up.
Yeah, that'll be a tough game.
And then other than the Toronto, they've got a pretty easy run in their remaining schedule. Portland, Miami, Brooklyn, Orlando, the Grizz, and the Wizards. So it's not overly, I guess, difficult for them. I mean, the test will be Bucks at the start. But, I mean, Jason Tatum is literally, becoming that superstar. He really is.
You could even put his hat in the ring for not so much, almost most improved, because he regressed. He regressed last year. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about that. He regressed last year. He has just come out. He's, even though, you know, Kemba Walker is the, you know, the quintessential superstar of the team, but he has, he's nearly essentially wrestled that away from him and said, this is my team. You just come along, everyone else has come along for the ride. Gordon Hayward there as well, I think should bode well for him. Whether or not they've got enough depth on the bench, if guys like, is it Tice that's there? Ennis Kander, guys like that, can they sort of step up?
Can Bol Bol step up? Bol Bol was
Taco Fall,
phenomenal in that little scrimmage sort of game.
Yeah, well, that's a big body to sort of block up the key, but I don't see him getting a lot of a lot of meaningful minutes throughout the playoffs. But you never know.
I don't think so. I think they have realistically have a chance to make the playoff finals, in my prediction. I think that's they're on that upward trajectory. It all depends how Kemba plays, or Kemba, how healthy he is.
Well, that's it. And if it looks like that they can't sort of get any higher or any lower, I think Miami's sort of clipping at their heels a little bit. I think Miami's only 2.5 games behind. Yep. So they will have to watch it a little bit if they do decide to, you know, either limit or not play Kemba Walker at all, just to make sure that he's absolutely right for the playoffs. These are just tune-ups. I don't think too many people are paying attention to the scrimmages that have been happening, apart from that, yes, we've got NBA basketball back. That's just sort of getting guys out there for a bit of a run, like nobody's playing huge minutes or anything like that. So
it'll be interesting if the positions stay where they are, it'll be interesting. Their first round playoff game will be against Philadelphia. So that'll be a huge first round.
If things go as they stand right now, then 3-6 would be Philly. So that'll be extremely interesting.
So it'd be interesting to see which way they go. Do they push to the 2, which I don't think they can make it, or do they regress a little bit and just get healthy?
You've just got to sort of sit back and see. Like, you know, even if they let Miami overtake them and they drop down to 4, which means they'll play Indiana. So, you know, that would be a much easier series.
So.
Like, they could be extremely strategic and do that. And let sort of Miami overtake them, and sort of be a bit sneaky.
Well, that's
that's
your next team. But I'm just thinking, if that ends up happening, Jimmy going back to Philadelphia, well, not back to Philadelphia, but playing Philadelphia in first round playoffs.
Right. Yeah, Yeah, there'll be some hurt feelings, no doubt. Jimmy Butler won't give a about anybody's hurt feelings. So, like you said, you know, speaking of Miami, they start off against Denver, so that'll be a tough test for them straight up. First game. I guess it's sort of integrating for them. It's going to be integrating Andre Iguodala into the, into that sort of system. They've got a lot of young guys there, obviously with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, who's, once again, is arguably a top contender for most improved.
Exactly.
That's probably the mold of the new rim running center, who not the greatest shot in the world, but that's just the athleticism alarm, someone like Montrezl Harrell or someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, who's been shooting the lights out. And then guys like Goran Dragic is, him coming off the bench, he's embraced that role a little bit. He's coming up to free agency as well, Goran Dragic. So we'll have to sort of, I think he's essentially playing for another contract. I didn't realize that he's as old as what he is. He's 34.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit surprised when I started doing a little bit of a deep dig into Goran Dragic. But he's been playing terrific as well. So.
It's interesting being he's 34. Everybody, unfortunately, is going to expect that they're going to get lower end contracts. So the free agency this time around is going to be extremely interesting because it won't be the money that's been flying around before. It's impossible.
That's right. The possibility that the salary cap will actually go down. So that's going to put a lot of teams under stress because, it's all about luxury tax, but it'll be teams playing luxury tax that they don't really want to pay and that weren't expecting to pay. So
exactly.
That's going to be a thing.
So, and then it begs the question, I don't think it's going to happen in the NBA, but it'd be interesting, much like NFL, where if they can restructure contracts because of something like this, restructure certain deals.
Yeah, with what's happening at the moment, I'd say that there's anything is on the table in regards to that, whether or not some players might want to take a little bit sort of, team-friendly deal if they've already got a contract. Or if they're going in for a re-sign contract if they're a restricted free agent or anything like that, whether or not they'll want to do a team friendly deal just to sort of because I can only assume that the cap is going to take a hit for next year. They've lost hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
There's no possible way
stuff that happened with China and everything. So they're going to be under the pump. As a league next year, money-wise.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot to recoup this as well.
What else are you sort of thinking on Miami?
They're a bit of a smoky. They're 2.5 games behind Boston. Boston could be a little sneaky, like we said, maybe go, oh, look, we've dropped a couple of games and Miami's winning. So they might get themselves a little bit of a lower playoff seed, but play Indiana. That'll be a pretty good series, 4-5, Indiana, Miami. So that'll be a little bit spicy as well, too, given the history between Jimmy Butler and the one TJ Warren. So,
yeah.
I'm all for that. bring that on. So, it's bringing the young guys along. Obviously the leadership group there would be Butler and Dragic and Iguodala. So, for those guys to sort of bring the youngsters up and get them playoff ready.
Yeah. The Pacers are going into this with literally they're up in the air of who's playing. So, Oladipo said he was going to just sit out for the year. 10 days later, he reportedly reconsidered. So he's traveled with the team in the bubble.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. So, yeah, that's...
It's still uncertain he's playing. There's no confirmation yet.
No, he's there.
He'll be fine. Well, he's there. Jeremy Lamb is unfortunately, he's tore his ACL, so he's definitely out. But then Malcolm Brogdon, you know, he tested positive for COVID. So... You know, he is in that bubble, but they're coming into this very...
That was kind of early. That was early on early, in the piece, too.
It was late, you know, June, so it was sort of late, yeah.
Hopefully but, sort of rid that from his system.
I think if Oladipo doesn't play, I don't think they're going to make so much noise. But if Oladipo plays with him and Brogdon in that backcourt, that could be a very big wild card.
And also a lot of it also depends on Miles Turner as well. Like, you know, he's sort of had a very up and down season. Sabonis is gone for them as well. That is a massive loss for Indiana. So, for me, I don't see them doing much even with Oladipo coming back. Problem. So I don't see them doing a whole lot.
No, their depth is pretty thin, and that's unfortunately probably where they are because they have too much out. But they could upset some teams. They don't have a really great 8-game run in, but you know they'll be in the playoffs. I mean it's extremely evident they'll be in the playoffs. But if they end up going against Miami, I don't think it'll disturb Miami. It really depends what happens with Oladipo.
Yeah, pretty much, and that's their depth. Their depth as well is not the best either. So, it'd be tough for them to sort of challenge whoever it may be, whether it's Boston, whether it's Miami in amongst that. So, yeah, not so much. Yeah, you could say they'll be a tough team. But, yeah, them losing Sabonis is massive. And I think that's going to cripple them.
The next team is, I would say, another wild card because you don't know what team is going to turn up, the 76ers.
Look, Philadelphia.
That's exactly what I think every time I hear the 76ers.
They're an enigma. Like, that's all they are. That's all they are. Like, and they kick off against Indiana, so, that'll have to see what happens there. It was Jekyll and Hyde. For them, they had the best record at home. They only had two losses at home. They were 29-2, but they only had 10 wins on the road.
That's the biggest concern.
10-24, that could bode well for them throughout them playing in Orlando. They don't have to worry about sort of essentially traveling, going on the road or anything. I mean, Charlotte had more wins on the road for them, for Christ's sakes. Charlotte had 13 wins on the road. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They've just got to be able to, I guess, sort of put everything together. There's a lot of chatter around Brett Brown and whether or not he's going to survive this year if they don't sort of make a deep playoff run. There's the sniffings going around of Ben Simmons playing at the four and the young kid from the G League, Shake Milton, coming in and playing at that point guard. So... that'll be interesting to see what happens in regards to that. They've got a pretty good 1-2-3 punch on the offense, I think, with Simmons, Embiid, and Tobias Harris.
I don't mind it.
I think it's good. And if it'll just be how they're exploited. Like, Embiid is a monster defensively, but the Tobias Harris seems to get a little bit sort of undue pressure put on him. Defensively, and a lot of teams sort of like to take advantage of that. Josh Richardson there as well. I think they're another one of their problems is depth as well. I think.
Well, I guess
who's there? You know, he's a good young player, but it's I think depth will test them a little bit.
I think I just like
and Al Horford as well. Like, you know,
well,
you
that's what I was about to say. That's why I think I like the idea that if Ben's going to play in the front court, having Al Horford come off the bench at least to put Embiid in check if he does do silly things like he does, or help him because he doesn't play full games or he gets injured. That's a really good replacement to have.
No, that's right. Exactly.
So, I could see the death, but it depends how it works, I guess. That'll be the key.
Well, Embiid's been relatively healthy this year as well. Like, he's played 44 out of the 65 games. So,
yeah,
you know, he's played essentially more, you know, two-thirds of the season. He's averaging 23 and 11. But the thing that sort of jumped out at me a little bit, sort of having a bit of a dive into him as well, he's only shooting 47% from the field. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who's as gifted offensively as him, he's got the shot range. He can hit the three. Shooting below 50% for a guy like him who's got terrific footwork around the hoop, that I think that's unacceptable, really.
Yeah.
For a 7-footer like him, and it just it looks like he's in slow mo with everything, but his footwork, the way he sort of, yeah, that he can sort of turn you inside out around the hoop, to be shooting under 50% from the field is just not good enough, I don't think.
Next seed is probably the most perplexing team to me that's out of the 22 teams in the bubble, because although it's a Brooklyn Nets, although they're sitting in the seventh seed, Orlando are half a game back and Washington Wizards are six games back. But their lead up has been chaotic.
They could go 0-8.
I think they'll go. This is their timeline between June and July. It started with Kevin Durant basically ending speculation that he wasn't going to play. Then it was reported if Kyrie Irving was going to join the team, he'd be as an inactive player. But then he's since obviously pulled out. Wilson Chandler's told ESPN that he'll be opting out to spend time with family. DeAndre Jordan said after testing positive for COVID, he will be not joining the team. Spencer Dinwiddie said he will not be joining the team after multiple positive COVID tests. So Taurean Prince as well tested positive for COVID as well. So he'll be sitting out of the restart.
It's going to be Caris LeVert and Jared Allen.
And Jamal Crawford.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
so
it's
unfortunate. But you're right. If they go 0-8, that's possibly like, I kept thinking, why is the Wizards going to be in there six games back? But then I looked at it, yeah, my God, they have a realistic chance of going 0-8 and finishing the ninth seed, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, no, absolutely they do. They're with the talent that they've got there, it depends on their on their run in as well, on their eight games and who they play, and if they play some of the big guns, are they going to take it a little bit lightly on them? Are they going to throttle them just for the hell of it, just to sort of get their confidence up a little bit? I think Brooklyn opens up with Orlando, so that'll be a tough test for them straight up.
They don't have a great run. Orlando, Wizards, Bucks, Celtics, Kings, Clippers, Magic, Blazers. So they don't have the friendly run, really.
So they got two against Orlando. You know, Sacramento. They could go 0-8. If they don't beat Washington.
Yeah. They'll go 0-8.
They could go 0-8. Wow.
Yeah. So and look, that's it. You can't blame people for staying out. Like, there's no, you know.
No, absolutely not.
I can't blame, but it's unfortunate it's happened. Well, Brooklyn being in New York and New York being such a hotspot for all this. So that's just
a little bit of the center for it, especially at the start. I think they sort of might have it a little bit more under control now. But, yeah, I think it ballooned out of control extremely quickly there in New York, just simply, just via simple numbers, you know, everybody living on top of each other there. So that was always going to be hard for them to, to sort of keep it out of the players and everything. Yeah. So that was always going to be tough.
Next side is the Magic.
Look, Orlando, a promising team. A lot of big men on their squad. The guys got Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, who's probably been a little bit of a disappointment since he's come in. I think he was drafted sixth a few years ago, and he hasn't sort of quite lived up to expectations. Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic, who was an all-star last year. But yeah, they've got a lot of big men across their front line. Markelle Fultz. They've got a good for me. I like their spread of scoring.
Yeah.
They don't have that major superstar.
I'm so happy that he's playing good. And Orlando took a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Jonathan Isaac average about 12 points a game. You know, Aaron Gordon, 14. Terrence Ross, who just seems to be evergreen, he's averaging nearly 15. Evan Fournier is nearly averaging 19. And Vucevic is averaging 19.5. So they've got a pretty decent spread. And also DJ Augustine as well, who's been pretty good for them the last couple of years since he's been there. So that's sort of the one thing I like about that. They've got Jonathan Isaac back. He's been out since the 1st of January. He had a bit of a left knee issue, so he'll sort of bolster up that front court. But that's, I mean, they've got a lot of front court options.
Yeah.
So it's just, whether or not they've got too many front court options, and that could be something they could take into the off season, but maybe shop around some of those guys and try and get some more complementary pieces to make them a little bit more of a force in the East.
Next side is the Wizards. They have the worst record of any of the 22 teams heading into the restart. Currently, I guess 5.5 games back from the Magic. Unfortunately, they'll be without Davis Bertans, who chose not to participate, which basically means to me that Bradley Beal is going to have to just go completely nuclear and just go like he can. But he realistically is the only guy that can score. You know, he's going to be able to be a James Harden and score so many points for that side. He's currently averaging 30.5 points per game, so it doesn't necessarily mean that he can't. They're just they'll be in the eight. I mean, they could also push for seven, but they just don't have the friendliest roster in the world. So not having John Wall there as well would have been great if he could somehow have made a comeback, but.
Davis Bertans
thing really hurt him big time.
They've got a very limited roster, to say the least.
Well, he was their second leading scorer, and he's great at Davis Bertans. So, again, no fault of his own, decided not to participate. So they'll go on depending on what happens to the Nets, but they have a realistic chance of making that eight. They really do.
Yeah, no, that's right. If they get off to a good start and get a couple of wins on the board, and Brooklyn starts to sink fairly quickly, which you think they would, they could be very motivated to try and maybe get in. And it all comes down to draft status as well, whether they actually want to do that, and sort of give themselves a lesser amount of ping pong balls once the draft comes around on October 16th. So. That's going to be the thing that they might not want to do. I know your boy Rui Hachimura sort of how he's going to go there. So.
He's not my boy. I just like his name, Rui Hachimura.
He's
your boy. Yeah, sure. He's pretty good. He's not a bad player, really.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's a top 10 draft pick. So,
well, that's right. No one expected it. I don't think he did. So,
I don't think many people had, especially him.
We'll move over to the West. We'll start with the number one seed, which is the Los Angeles Lakers. Possibly the favorites going into this. I'll say possibly. I won't give it to them straight away, but possibly the favorites. But they are going in decidedly, I guess, a little bit weaker, with Avery Bradley not deciding to play, and Rajon Rondo broke his thumb early, so at that Disney practice. So
don't underestimate the loss of Rajon Rondo.
No.
I think that could be a real big loss for him.
I mean, he's out for six to eight weeks, so I don't think he realistically, well, I don't think he is going to play. So they did sign one J.R. Smith, which was an interesting sign.
And Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters, I like J.R. Well, I like J.R. Smith. I don't know. Their biggest key, I mean, we can say LeBron, and LeBron's having a great season, but the biggest key is, well, I mean, it's pretty evident, is it? Anthony Davis.
Right. Yeah, it's Anthony Davis. It's Oil of Olay, Anthony Davis. That's the key.
Yeah. 100%.
Key to the Lakers' success.
How many minutes he can play? That'll be the key. It'll be how many minutes he can play.
Yeah, I think during these 8 games, they'll just be sort of getting those guys acquainted with guys like J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters, because there's a possibility that they may play meaningful games throughout the playoffs. So obviously Kyle Kuzma there as well. Yeah, he's sort of that linchpin that they're going to have come off the bench.
I could see him using, and everybody loves him, but I see Alex Caruso playing a lot of minutes in this 8-game stretch. Everybody loves him.
He's
in YouTube and just see how much he's loved. It's ridiculous.
The love is uncanny, but it's very strange the way the public sort of latches on to people like that. It's very strange.
They don't have the greatest run in. They played the Clippers. We won't mention any scores in case people haven't watched it, but they played the Clippers first up. And they got Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, and Kings. So haven't got the greatest run there. There's a good 5 or 6 tough games in there. So they should finish number one. It would for them. It would depend who's going to finish number 8 and who they're going to go up against. Because again, not having that Lakers or not having that home court advantage can play a massive part.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, the bandwagon of Laker fans will always turn up in droves during the playoffs. So that'll be tough for them to not play in front of all the superficial people that support.
Hey, so, Jack Nicholson's not superficial. He loves them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we all know Jack's been there forever and a day. So we'll exclude him. And we may exclude you as well, so we'll see.
How about the other? Like people jumping on bandwagon. How about the other LA side, the Clippers?
Oh my God! Well, their bandwagon's been slowly getting bigger as over the last few years. You know, with Lob City there, with DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and CP3. The likes of Lou Williams and. Yeah, Jamal Crawford, guys like that who have been there and sort of brought the Clippers into a little bit of relevance throughout the last 5 to 6 years there in LA. They haven't really been an afterthought, but this year with the acquisitions that they've made, in Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they're just absolute superstar talents and. Yeah. And it's just this period off has been probably as beneficial to the Clippers as any team. So now Kawhi, we don't have to use that nasty word in load management too much anymore. Hopefully,
Everybody got load management. Every single
person. That's right. Yeah, they just had a 4-month load management. So there should be you think there should be some fresh legs when it comes to the Clippers. We'll have to wait and see how. There's still one little quarantine issue to go on with Lou Williams, who left the bubble, went to Atlanta. There was a death close to the family. Okay. So he went to Atlanta, and then he proceeded to go with one of his boys to a particular adult establishment in inverted commas.
I always
for the wings He says he went. He said, "I'm totally stealing this from Kendrick Perkins." He says he went there for the wings, but I reckon he went there for the legs and thighs. So apparently the wings there are to die for, but also I think the legs and thighs are pretty bare there as well. So the place is called Magic City. If you want to look it up, Magic City in Atlanta. It looks like it's a fairly reputable establishment. Magic City. He's still in quarantine at the moment. So once they get him back, that's right. Yeah. Pat Beverly is going to be big for them as well. There's still no Montrezl Harrell at the moment as well, but he'll be back. So they're probably the deepest team in who's left at the moment. The only thing is they're only 1.5 games up on Denver, so they won't want to get too complacent, I don't think. So it'll just we'll see how they manage. A couple of new guys that they got on the roster as well. Pretty sure is it Markeith Morris that's there. And the other Morris twin is at the Lakers. They picked up Reggie Jackson, who is a good pickup for them. And they also picked up Joakim Noah as well. So they've got depth at all positions.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, so they've got everything covered times two. Yeah. So they're a legitimate, absolute legitimate championship contender.
Yeah. Nah, I 100% agree. Just purely because of depth alone. So, speaking of the Nuggets, so they're the next side. You're right. They're 1.5 games behind the Clippers. Coming in, Nikola Jokic, I guess their superstar, wasn't in the greatest shape, but he's come in extremely thin. And
I don't think he ate much when he was in Croatia. He's Croatian. They must have a bit of a food shortage while he was over there. So he's looking a little bit too sort of skinny, unhealthy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was the first images that come out of him coming back to America were fairly jarring.
To say
the least. It is like, holy moly, where did all that weight go?
And it was funny. It was evident in one of the scrimmage games. He was playing point guard. I mean, he could throw a ball anyway. He throws a ball ridiculously well. But they have depth. Like, I think Jamal Murray still hasn't made that sort of leap to the sort of stardom, I guess, that he kind of needs to. They've got Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap. Jeremy Green as well. So I think that their biggest X factor is Michael Porter Jr. He is having a decent season there. It was a great pickup for him, hugely, hugely good pickup for him. So
and they've been patient with him as well.
Yeah.
And I think another team and their supporters could sort of take a leaf out of Denver's book, and we'll get to them a little bit later, in regards to patience of a young superstar. Absolutely. Michael Porter Jr. I think is going to be, if he gets significant minutes. I don't think he was getting a lot of minutes this season, but he was playing more, playing better. So if they can sort of shore him up a little bit defensively, it's a typical sort of Denver side, over the longest time, even going back to the days where, George Karl was coaching and Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson and Chauncey Billups were there, and they only made the one conference final appearance with a fairly stacked, talented roster. Even Kenyon Martin playing there.
Yeah.
It's a stacked West.
You're right.
It's just unfortunate that they're coming up and being in this type of environment for them. So, they could spring. I guess it would be an upset if they sort of knock off any of those bigger teams, the LA teams, and make a significant run.
Exactly.
But,
I think they'll get to the semis. I just don't know if, yeah, if they'll really make any noise. But just before we finish with them, Michael Porter, you know, in that month of January, he was averaging 12.3 points and 6.9 rebounds, so, and 21 minutes. So I think, I mean, it could have come in the worst time for him to stop, but
no, that's
truly, right. You know, he was a top 10 draft pick as well. So, you know, there was huge raps on him
They took him off that, but yeah, that horrible back injury that he had you know, in college.
Mm.
I think he played for Mizzou, I think, you know, the Tigers. And they took a flyer on him, and they're just like, yeah, we see the potential. He was absolutely a top five pick in that draft a couple of years ago. And yeah, that back injury, a lot of teams sort of shied away from that, but Denver have taken the punt to get him. And yeah, it's, I mean, hopefully they can sort of bring him along. You know, it's a slow process, but yeah, this year he was starting to bear the fruits of that.
What people are seeing in him, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And like I said, they've sometimes you just have to play the waiting game. And you know, if he can get some significant minutes and some, you know, and some confidence in these eight games, then he could be an absolute X factor throughout the playoffs.
Jazz are the next side. They's currently in the fourth seed. Utah.
Yeah,
Jazz.
Look, Utah took a pretty big hit losing Bogdanović. You know, with that, I think he had a fractured wrist, so he's essentially done. He was averaging 20 odd points a game and 41% from three. So that's a big, big hit for them. But on the plus side, they acquired a young Jordan Clarkson, who was not so much disgruntled over there at Cleveland, but going from a Lakers squad, you know, over there to you know, perennial cellar dwellers as of recently, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he's got picked up there. So he's going to be the Energizer Bunny, I think, off the bench for them. He's an explosive dude. You know, and he can really, really contribute for them. For me, you know, obviously the Mitchell Gobert relationship, how much that's patched up. You know, after
everything
I
read,
happened,
it seems to patch up. It seems to, but you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, once the pressure cooker is on in the playoffs, then we'll find out, you know, whether they start to get a little bit testy with each other. The other one as well is obviously Mike Conley. He was a fairly high profile pickup for them at the start of the year. Not quite living up to expectations. No. 13.8 points a game and only four assists, which is that's pretty disappointing. And only shooting 40% from the field. That's just that is just so far below par for a guy of his talent.
And doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, so it'll be interesting to see how he'll go.
Being with Memphis and sort of being that that perennial West Tigers and finishing in ninth a lot, not quite getting to the playoffs. So, Joe Ingles has opted back in. It looked like he wasn't going to. His young son has autism, so they're I guess a little bit more susceptible to the nasty coronavirus, but he's come back in, so that'll be good. That's a good, building block for them for this run. And yeah, a guy that I thought was a decent pickup as well for them. They picked him up from the Knicks is Emmanuel Mudiay. I liked him at Denver. He didn't really get a terrific sort of run there with New York. And, you know, he's only playing about 15 minutes a game, 7-odd points. So I think that they could use him a lot in two guard sets if they want Mitchell to run the ball a lot more. So I'd like to see a bit more sort of production out of him. But, yeah, I think that, yeah, like I said, the Energizer Bunny for them, I think big X factor is going to be Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. Next side was the fifth in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who – I guess to me, for everybody, was the biggest surprise packet, largely because of how Chris Paul's played there, and remarkably how clutch he was in those 42 games that they played. So, yeah, I think everybody was surprised.
Underestimate CP3. Love CP3. Yeah, I was extremely disappointed when, yeah, obviously he left New Orleans and went to the Clippers of all teams. I mean, it could have been worse. He could have been wearing that horrible purple and gold, but we all know what happened there. But yeah, that's I love CP3, what he does, how he plays. He's one of the best floor generals, in the past 20, 25 years. I think he's just been in just horrible situations. And obviously the run that he had with Houston the last couple of years, getting hurt, sort of stunted them a little bit. But he has been, he's been the heart and soul there at Oklahoma City. After the trade with Houston to Russell Westbrook.
Well, that's what I mean. I guess he comes across like he doesn't, he doesn't like, or he constantly clashes with those veteran teammates that, like Russell Westbrook. Well, not Russell Westbrook, like James Harden or anyone like that. But
that was a strange pairing because they play the same kind of ball. I guess, they're isolation type players, but James Harden obviously gets more of the scoring accolades, whereas CP3 is a hell of a lot better ball distributor than what he is. But they definitely like to pound the rock. I much like Chris Paul's game a lot better than what I do James Harden's, because he gets the teammates more involved, and it just didn't look like it could have worked in Houston. But I think that personality sort of clashed there, I think, a little bit with James Harden, and that sort of went awry towards the end of that relationship, I guess.
See, he's helped for me. He's helped. Look how good Shai Gilgeous-Alexander game has become. Even Dennis Schroeder's game has become really well. So.
And you would have thought that would have been a little bit of regression for Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench, but he for me he's a sixth man of the year. I don't think there's any questions in my mind. I don't know about yours, but I don't think there's any questions in my mind that Dennis Schroeder should be sixth man of the year. The NBA could be boring and give it to Lou Williams again, but I think Schroeder has embraced that bench role. And has played good. Also got someone like Danilo Gallinari. He's coming up to free agency again as well. Him sort of being healthy and playing well. Is good for OKC. Man, they could. Oof, boy, they could.
Yeah.
If they end up playing Utah in the first round, 4-5, if it all goes the way the seeds are at the moment, man, that will be an unbelievable first round.
Don't forget they've got the big rugged center Stephen Adams in there too. Well, that's right.
They've got the pirate and Stephen Adams as well. So they've got he's going to loot and plunder his way to
Billy Donovan, the coach as well. Yeah, they.
I really like Billy Donovan. I really do as a coach. I like what he does. He didn't sort of really have the best of luck there with Paul George, and their unceremonious exit from last year's playoffs. But I really like OKC and the way that they're sort of playing at the moment. So I can't wait to see them back in action. Like we said, with CP3 and the way that he's sort of playing, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's gone in leaps and bounds as well. OKC, if they play Utah, that could be an amazing series. If they end up meeting as the 4-5 match.
How do you think the Houston Rockets will go?
I guess as far as James Harden and Russell Westbrook can take him, I guess. It looks like they're going to persist with small ball, which means they're going to get out rebounded, so they're going to have to be extremely efficient offensively. They're not going to get You know, there's a lot of second chance points. Not to say that they're not going to get any second chance points, but that will be a struggle for them. So they'll have to be super efficient on the offensive end. This I think again, this break will be good for at least one player on the Houston Rockets, and that's James Harden. You know, a lot of criticism of him lately was, you know, he's got tired legs by the time he gets to the playoffs because he does too much threat.
He does too much. Exactly right. Yeah. And that's no fault of anybody else's but his own.
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's just how he's developed into a player now. That's just him. You know, it's a lot of people. It's very, you know, unpleasing to the eye to watch. But if, you know, if they're getting wins, oh, you know, he hates it. Oh, good grief.
What are you going to pick, the dribbler? he does not like him at all.
I think something that might hurt him a little bit is the absence of Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
He's been pretty solid since he's gone there. I was sort of glad to be rid of him out of New Orleans. He's averaging about 15-odd points a game, but he's gone for at least 2 weeks with a left ankle sprain. So that will hurt them offensively a little bit. That just means Harden will have to average 45 instead of 30. So I guess that's how they'll sort of pick that up. Yeah, also someone like Robert Covington as well.
Yeah.
To see how much better he can fit into that system. They also picked up Luke Mahabute, so he obviously fits the mold of how they're going to play, is shoot threes, shoot more threes, and then if we can't get threes, we'll shoot step-back threes. and then if we can't shoot step-back threes, and then we'll try and get to the hoop. So it's a pretty good plan by D'Antoni there at Houston. But, look, I think they'll be a tough out for whoever plays them throughout the playoffs. But, they'll run the pants off you. And, it's just if they can sort of get that – if they start hitting threes, then, they can be an absolute lights-out team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Next side is the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, currently sitting seventh in the West on 40-27 record. For me, and it's not really an X factor. The only way they're going to make noise, it was what's going to happen to one Kristaps Porzingis and how he's going to play, because when he's on, he could absolutely tear any team apart.
Well, they don't call him the unicorn for nothing.
Well, that's exactly right. They have a fairly innocuous sort of run, and it's, you know, they've got the Clippers. They play the Houston Rockets straight up, and they've got the Clippers. Other than that, they play the Phoenix Suns twice. So,
oh, beautiful.
They have a pretty decent run in. We can talk about Luka Doncic, and everyone knows how well he's playing and everything, but I think it'll all depend how Kristaps plays and Seth Curry, how he plays as well. They did
I can't wait to he's come along in leaps and bounds there at Dallas the last couple of seasons. I can't wait to see the lesser known of the Curry brothers. Hopefully he can light it up a bit, because he's not so much a streak shooter, but yeah, when he gets hot, I think in one of them scrimmage games he was 8-for-9 from three. So, you know, if he can get it going along with Doncic, KP, then if they play the Clippers in a first round, holy moly, that could be anything.
Well, they also, a couple of players had to opt out, Powell and Willie Cauley-Stein. But they did, you know, a couple of good pickups. They signed Michael Kidd-Gilchrist after the buyout he had for Charlotte in February. And they also signed Trey Burke. So that's a couple of decent pickups.
I like Cuban. Trey Burke. I like Trey Burke a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't think, mind yeah. Michael Kilgour's defense. Offensively, not really good, but defensively, he you know.
Yeah, for what was he? Was he a top? Was he a second or third overall pick? I think he's been a bit of a bit of a flop there, but you know, he's obviously been with Charlotte his whole career, so that's what I mean. Two solid pickups. Yeah, I really like Trey Burke. Former Michigan Wolverine. So,
aggressive player.
I think he could and he can get his own shot. He's like a Dion Waiters. Yeah. Like he can create his own shot. He doesn't hesitate either. So he's he could be a really good sort of integral pickup for Dallas.
Dion Waiters, you gotta love him, Mr. Heat Check. I love him.
Waiters Island.
A-seed is the Memphis Grizzlies. Another side, I guess, you know, the same as OKC, that no one expected them to be in the, at least, well, they are currently in the eighth, but at least trying to push for a playoff spot.
Oh, no, they've absolutely overachieved greatly this year, you know, clearly through the play of Ja Morant. But, also with... with Triple J there as well, Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, I like him as well. Brandon Clark, they've got a really good sort of young nucleus. It sucks that one of their new acquisitions in Justice Winslow, who they picked up from Miami in the Iguodala trade, he's done. His hip's bothering him, so he's out. He's only played 11 games all year, so they're sort of putting him down, as a future. You know, a future player for them. It's just the fact whether or not they can hold off, you know, New Orleans, Portland, and Sacramento, really.
Yeah.
They're 3.5 games up on all three of those teams. Second in team assists at 27 a game, which I thought was rather interesting. So that means they've got fairly good ball distribution. Jar's averaging about 7 or 8 assists per game, so obviously it's all fueled by him. But they also signed Anthony Tolliver as well, so he's a bit of a journeyman and he can spread the floor as well. So it's just I think for them it's just you hope that they can continue to grow. You don't want this to be a bit of an anomaly type season where they come in, improve this much, and then next year. Yeah, now they sort of don't have, and I think they're in a bit of a lottery pickle, lottery pickle with Boston as well.
Yeah.
There's the possibility that they could lose draft picks and they go to Boston if they don't if they sort of stay out. It's such a complicated.
I hate when they do that.
Top six protection and all that sort of stuff. It's crazy, but there's the possibility that they could be losing, that they could lose draft picks to Boston, which would just be horrible for them. They actually kick off against one of the teams that they're fighting for the eighth seed for in Portland. So, all they've got to do is just hold out. Like if they go 4-4, then essentially all of those other teams have to go 8-0 to overtake them.
To even get
a look in at that stupid play-in game, which is ridiculous. Like you have this bubble and then how many more chances do you want to give these teams that are obviously inferior, that aren't going to be anywhere near that shouldn't be anywhere near the players? How many more chances do you want to give them? Even have a chance at a play-in game? Like, that's just ridiculous. If you're there, you've got a better win percentage. Like I said, if Memphis goes 4-4, New Orleans, Portland, Sacramento all have to go 8-8. 8-9.
8-9. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This play on, it's just ridiculous. This play-in garbage that they talked about. That's just stupid.
Yeah, exactly what you just said. But for the Grizzlies, at least, it's up to their own hands.
The destiny's in their own hands.
Exactly right. And speaking of Portland, they currently are ninth in the West. They, if any team's going to up upset them or upset them from the eighth, it's going to be them. They have Yusuf Nurkic back now, which is a massive, massive, yeah. They unfortunately don't have Trevor Ariza. They did sign him, obviously, on the trade deadline, but he's out due to a pending sort of child custody case. So
he's spending time with the family, but yeah, that's
But you know, a very, very thin and healthy looking Carmelo Anthony. They
Skinny Melo.
You know, Yusuf Nurkic, Carmelo, Dame Lillard, and CJ McCollum. Like they really, really. I don't want them to finish in the eight because I'd hate for the Lakers to play up against them in the, you know, in that first round because they have a huge chance of upsetting any team.
Well, that's, I mean, it doesn't matter who they play. Dame takes everything personally, so you know it's
he does too.
And he plays that as well. So that'll be super interesting. I'm a massive Carmelo Anthony fan, so I'm glad to sort of see him in playing well. Sort of trimmed right down, so it looks like he'll probably play. Yeah, there's rumors out there that he'll play the three instead of his more, not so much natural position, but the position that he's been playing for a long time now. He's always been a three. He's not a four. He's a four in this new age sort of game that's played now. But he's always been a three. He's always been a small forward. So, him sort of reverting back to that in a lineup, might just really help him out a bit.
I don't know. Like as soon as I looked, seen the picture of him, obviously he looks a bit older, but God damn, he just had that Syracuse body. It was ridiculous.
Right. Get the cornrows back, and it's right.
The old Syracuce Orange man.
This could be Mello under Jim Boeheim, Carmelo Anthony.
He was
a bad man.
They will scare people, but again, exactly what you said. It'll all come down to what happens to Memphis Grizzlies. I guess speaking of teams that possibly could make it, your boys are Pelicans.
Well, that's right for this team as well. It's the same thing. They're 8 games under .500. They don't deserve to be anywhere near the playoffs. They just don't. Anyway,
They're only there for we've talked about this off pod, but they're literally probably only there purely because of Zion.
Oh, absolutely.
Because ESPN, everybody probably wants to see Zion.
That is the only reason they're there. ESPN are trying. They cooked up this plan to try and we need to recoup some of this money. Oh, how can we get Zion in the playoffs? All right, well, let's do this. So it just means that teams like Sacramento and San Antonio got dragged into it as well. But Zion was out of the bubble for a little bit. I tried so hard not to say bubble this whole pod, but there it is. He was out of there for a little bit.
What else do you call it? A dome, like a Simpson dome, straight over the town.
Dome. Yeah. he was out for a little bit. He's come back. He tested negative the whole time he was out, so he only had to go through 4 days of quarantine. So, they play Utah straight up. They've got a pretty, sort of rough run to, if they can navigate the first four games, which is Utah, Clippers, Memphis, and then to a lesser extent Sacramento. Then they've got Washington, San Antonio, Sacramento, and Orlando.
Yeah.
So if they can sort of navigate those first four games, and maybe be 3-1, then they've got a super chance of getting into this silly play-in game against Memphis. But all Memphis has got to do is win 5 or 6 games, and they won't even get a chance to. So they're obviously the way that Gentry likes them to play is fairly unstructured and a lot of run and gun. And they've got a lot more sort of there's a lot of guys there that are catch and shoot type players as well. Etuan Moore, Nico Melli, obviously JJ Redick is there as well. To a lesser extent, someone like Frank Jackson that comes off the back end of the bench. It's just going to be, whether or not they can sort of tighten up defensively because they've just been abused royally all year defensively. I think 27th in the league. But yeah, they'll run the pants off you. If they can cut down turnovers and things like that, then yeah, they could. And it also depends on what sort of minutes they want to play Zion. If they want to trust him to play 25 minutes, that they'll be there or thereabouts. You know, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball as well. You know, Brandon Ingram, like we said, he's my most improved for this season. You know, shooting 38% from three, 24 points, six boards, four assists. So he's sort of really coming into his own a bit, can get his shot at any time. You know, a lot of people sort of comparing him to a Kevin Durant at this stage of his career, which if he could turn out anything close to Kevin Durant, then, you know, if he wants to stick with New Orleans, we've got a couple of studs there.
But again, it's probably like the rest of these teams that we're talking about. It all happens. It's all going to depend what happens on the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's right.
The Kings.
And the thing is too, like, you know, even with the 19 games that Zion's played with New Orleans, New Orleans are only one game above 500. They're 10-9. So it's not as if they're blitzing. You know, they're playing the most attractive game or anything like that. You know, they're not blowing teams out. Yeah, they're you know, in a 19 game sample, they're one game above 500. So, you know, we could sort of pump the brakes on them being an absolute, you know, blitz run sort of team. But it's they're gonna have to get that chemistry back up and running again.
Yeah.
And if that they're playing like a Houston Rockets style, you know, run and gun type game, but at least they've got rebounders, you know, like Derek Favors and you know, obviously Zion and Brandon Ingram are better rebounders than I think what a lot of people give them credit for.
The Kings are next. They are currently 11th. I ran through it quickly. I don't think they'll make much noise purely because they have Marvin Bagley out for the year.
They've got a lot of people out.
They did trade away Trevor Ariza, so and Dwayne Dedman as well, which saved them, you know, $65 million, but. They picked up Alex Land. I don't know how much noise they're going to make. You know, they've got De'Aaron Fox, they've got Buddy Hield, they've got Harris Barnes, and they've got Big Bogdanovich, who
that's a pretty good core. That's right. That's a really good core. And you bring Marvin Bagley back into that, and that's they're a good young team.
They're a good but they won't. Yeah, I don't see him pushing, you know, into that sort of eight spot. They did. I just reading up on them. Funnily enough, they had one guy that accidentally had to go into mandatory quarantine. Richaun Holmes, because he left the campus border for chicken wings. These guys are chicken wings. God damn, they love their chicken.
They could have been some Magic City chicken wings that he got delivered down from Atlanta. You don't know.
Chicken wing. Clearly, but look, you're right. They do have a great they do have a great five, and possibly by the looks of it, are going to have some money coming into the next season.
Can they attract a superstar? That's the thing. Like that's never really been, you know, they've always been that type of team, or it's been a long time since they've been that type of team where a star would be attracted to go to Sacramento.
Exactly. I mean, the only attraction is wanting to play, I guess, with Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. That would be, I guess, the only way I could sort of see it panning out. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah, don't sell Bogdan short.
No, I won't. I won't. But yeah, they have the way to attract players. It's just. You're right. I don't know why. I mean, from everything I've seen and looked at, Sacramento doesn't look like a terrible place. So I don't get it.
No, it's a little bit of Northern California weather there. That's definitely an attractant.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. It just happens. It just doesn't seem to happen at all. Like them attracting superstar players, or if they do, or if they get a superstar player. They don't stay there for long, unfortunately.
No, they don't hang around long.
No. Next side is... I'm losing it. Yeah, no, I'm not. It's the Spurs.
Yeah, well, listen, this could be a bit of a record sort of year for San Antonio. How many how many years on the trot has it been since they've made the playoffs? And they're an absolute real chance. I don't see them making the playoffs. So, this would be a streak broken for Popovich and San Antonio. So, I guess they're that sort of club that doesn't really like to go into, let's say, rebuilding mode. But that's essentially what they're going to have to go into. No LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-mm.
So, and no Trey Lyles as well, but LaMarcus Aldridge is out with a shoulder, so it'll be a DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, and DeJounte Murray led Spurs, with a little bit of sprinkling of Patty Mills. They signed Tyler Zeller, which if they keep him on the roster, sort of a guy that's been around the traps a little bit, he could be good for them next year. I would think that if they start 0-2 and they start off against Sacramento, if they start 0-2, they could even shut down guys like DeRozan and Rudy Gay and just go full youth movement.
Why not? I think that would be the best way. So it's 22 seasons since they've 22 consecutive seasons that they've made the playoffs. So, which is ridiculous. That's 1988.
It's 98. So essentially it coincides with them drafting Timmy Duncan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. I think that's probably the best way to do it. If they start 0-2, then start the youth movement. Why not?
Well, then they can't make it. It's just the numbers say that it's physically impossible. They can't make it. So you may as well just shut those guys down. Get the youth ready to play. You might play them one more game. Whether or not you want to sort of put the put the goods out there on the court just so, other teams might look at them and go, we're interested in that. They could do a trade, for those types of guys, whether it's, like somebody like DeMar DeRozan, they might be able to get, if he sort of balls out in the first three or four games, that a lot of people might sort of see that as recency bias and go, hey, look, he had a pretty good stint in the bubble. So, they might look to be a trade partner with San Antonio, so that they look towards the future and they can get back to being that that perennial playoff making team.
And the last team is pretty much exactly what you were sort of saying. So the Phoenix Suns, they're six games behind, so it was a bit of a stretch sort of getting them to be invited, I guess, to the restart.
Yeah.
They're not going to have Kelly Oubre because he's sat out. Look, they will have Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, but I think it'll be the same thing. I think not so much they're young guys, but I just think if they get 0-2, then just what's the point of giving them more minutes when they don't need to?
No, that's right. Players like Aaron Baines and guys like that, they don't need to be playing large minutes. So you can have, Ricky Mikhail Rubio, Bridges. You can have the Bridges, the young Bridges lad, DeAndre Ayton, who would have been starved for basketball this year after him being suspended at the start
of
the year.
They're just going to have to watch him. I would have put a lot of minutes on him just so he doesn't, injure himself. I mean, I know he was suspended, but I would have put a lot of minutes on him. Maybe just to get the fitness there, but
it all seems relative. You just want to get him to a little bit of confidence, him going into the off-season. So he has that sort of, that motivation to work on the game a little bit. There was a I think he, obviously he's their linchpin. He was their number one pick from a couple of years ago. So, in a fairly stacked draft, they didn't take, guys like Trae Young and Luka Doncic. They stuck with DeAndre Ayton as the number one pick. So they've got to put all their efforts into him being the best possible player that he can be.
They, they don't have the greatest run. Like, it's a weird team to sort of, I suppose they've done the same thing for the Wizards of being six games back. But unfortunately, after the Wizards, their next two games are Mavericks and Clippers. So then they got to play Mavericks again. So they're not, it's going to be hard, but that's probably the best thing that's going to happen with it. Exactly what you said. It's possibly DeAndre Ayton just going to have minutes under the belt. So
I think that's all you'd want. really. That's all you want. Get your young guys there. Get them with some minutes under the belt. Get them some confidence going into the off season. You know, give them that motivation to come back and to want to be bigger and better. You know, next year and make an actual real push. Yeah, for a playoff run next year.
Yeah. So that's all the 22 teams going through the NBA restart.
Prediction. Finals.
East and West finals?
Yeah, okay, let's go East finals.
I'm going to say the Bucks. It's not so much a smoky. I really think the Celtics could make it.
Absolutely. I think it'll be the Celtics and the Bucks. I think the only other team that may realistically could challenge there is Miami. It's no disrespect, and you know, when saying that, it's copious amounts of disrespect to Toronto. I just don't see them making the conference finals. I don't see it. I see it more in a team like Miami and Boston than what I do with Toronto.
And not the 76ers?
No, it's like I said, they're too much of an enigma. They just need to go into this off season again. You know, sort of work out, you know, a little bit more depth with their roster, find out what the hell they want to do with Embiid, Simmons and Tobias Harris, because they've got a lot of money tied up in those guys. So that, yeah, that they've got a lot of talent there. You know, they've got a good young talent there as well. So, they could cause an upset, but I don't see them making the conference finals.
With the West, I don't know. I think it's going to be both LA sides.
It'll be an all LA affair.
Surely that's not going to happen, really. As long as none of them pick up an injury, none of the superstars on any of those sides, I think it's all LA.
An injury or get the Rona.
Or get the Rona. Well, yeah. Well,
it's a weird place. Think about. Don't worry about the injuries. If they get the Rona.
Interestingly enough, it's a weird place. Florida, I thought, was the most prone place.
It's a super hot spot. Oh my God.
Why do they get the most super hot
spot? Major super, hot spot.
So I don't get it, but. Oh God! If I had to say the final, I mean, the death scares me at Clippers. I'm only going to say Lakers purely because, you know, it's more of a heart thing. But the Clippers. Did you say no hope?
I said you're a homer.
No. the Clippers death scares me, but I think it's Lakers, and I don't know, like. The Celtics have Bucks' number. They had Bucks' number this year. They know how to defend Giannis. The Celtics really, really could win the Eastern Finals.
Yeah, they could possibly. Like I said, you'd have to take some of it. Giannis will have to go nuclear. Have to go nuclear. And that's not out of the realms of possibility either. Like, you know, him just having an unbelievable run. You know, not so much in these eight games, but, you know, through the playoffs and just be an absolute unstoppable force. Yeah. If he comes up against, you know, either LA team, you know, they've got defensive stoppers. Well, maybe not so much the Clippers, like that they don't have the length possibly to stop Giannis, but the Lakers do.
Yeah, no, the Lakers do, definitely. But would you have any other little games there before we finish up?
You know my opinion on the play-in sort of thing for the eighth seed. If it goes on percentage, so it'll be because all the teams have played a different amount of games, so it has to go on percentage. But that's, I mean, it's Memphis's to lose. The only way it should be a play-in is if they finish on the same percentage or the same record.
Yeah,
that should be the only way. Not if they're one game behind or any stupid crap like that. You either have to tie with them. But if you're half a game behind and you're a couple of, you know, hundreds of percentage points behind, then too bad.
It's the East that, for me, that's going to just be like, what's going to go on there? Like, what happens to Brooklyn Nets? I think Spencer Dinwiddie is, to me, their biggest loss in that. I mean, there's a couple, but Spencer Dinwiddie, man, they are.
Well, those middle seeds as well, like Miami, Indiana, and Philadelphia, they're all within two games of each other.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of sort of jostling for position.
Yeah.
You know, if one team sort of goes on a bit of a streak and wins, you know, another team has a couple of losses, they could, yeah, that could be, you know, a lot of shuffling around in these eight games.
Before we finish up, do you like that they're not, do you like or dislike the idea that they're not including any of these games in for any MVP, most improved sixth man or anything? Do you like that or you don't like it?
No, like it.
You like it? Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. We've got it. We've got a sample size. We know who's who.
It feels like more of an invitational, doesn't it?
We know who's who. Like it's unfortunate. I don't think there's going to be too much sort of, you know, marginalized, voting or anything like that. I think most things will be set in stone, and the people who are voting for those things, for those end of year player awards, and obviously coach of the year and stuff like that as well. It's only an extra eight games. It's pointless adding this, you know, making this, because that's like I said before, some people will go recency bias and go, well, you know, if somebody has, you know, has a good, you know, a good sort of eight game run or anything of that, you know, that could sort of sway people's votes. You know, we've got the sample size from before. We know who these people are.
And just to finish up, everybody's talking about it. Who gets MVP in your eyes?
Look, I still think it's Giannis. They got the best record in the league. I think he means more to that team if you take him out of the lineup than what LeBron would taking him out of the lineup for the Lakers. That's kind of how I like to sort of put it. Take them out of the lineup and what do they mean to their team? And I think Giannis means a hell of a lot more, and the way that he's playing as well, he means a hell of a lot more to that team than what LeBron does, because obviously he's still got Anthony Davis there.
Well, that's what I mean, but that's a bit harsh. Exactly what I was about to say. It's a bit harsh.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't want to make it to LeBron's detriment that he's got somebody like Anthony Davis there. But it's LeBron is obviously a lot more well-rounded in year 17. He's having a phenomenal season. But, you know, Giannis is having a phenomenal season as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it was Giannis's to lose going in, even though this doesn't count. But if it doesn't count, you still... It's funny, they say it won't count, but you'll still think some of the voters will look at these games.
They won't be able to help themselves.
Of course they won't. They're analysts. They're reporters.
They should have made them already put their ballots in now.
Exactly. I hope they have. Exactly right, because they probably have.
They should have already put them in right now.
Yeah. I agree. Well, that'll do it for this podcast. This is the NBA Restart podcast. We'll follow up week to week with sort of the games that are happening during the week up until the playoffs.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We'll sort of go through we'll go through the eight games of everybody before, once we hit the playoffs, and then we'll sort of let you know how teams are going and who's actually made it, and we'll give a little preview to first round series.
Yep. Well, that'll do it. I've already said have a good week, everyone, in the NRL pod, but I'm going to finish off by saying my name's Jason Chicken Wings at Magic City Smith.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm Miles going there for thighs and legs.
Thighs and City legs. Club. Oh, thighs and legs. That's the best. That's Kendrick the only reason he was going there.
Oh, Kendrick Perkins. Got to love him.
All right. See you, everyone.
See ya.